1975, as a youngster at Beacon Baptist Church, our pastor on a Sunday stood up and preached a sermon from John 3 and verse 16. That was well and good. And then the next Sunday, he preached John 3:16, but it was the exact same sermon, same points, same illustrations. And folks were wondering about the pastor. Third Sunday, John 3:16, same illustration, same points. Well, the deacons got together, right? You brothers, if I'd done that, you'd have got together, right? Well, they did. And they decided that the deacon chairman was going to come up to the pastor and say, what's up with that? And the pastor said, I'll tell you when all of you are together. And so they didn't come back together and meet. So fourth Sunday, pastor preached John 3:16. Same illustrations, same points. So the deacons then all got together. And to which the pastor then was asked by all the deacons, when are you going to preach something else? And the pastor said, when are you going to get saved? Right? I'm not talking about you brothers, okay? But anyway, and because of that experience in my childhood and John 3:16, being such a familiar verse of scripture, that it is actually a verse that I very rarely preach a sermon from. Okay, so I share that with you to let you know why. How many of you can quote John 3:16? Just about everybody that's old enough can do it. I've got it up here in the New American Standard. You want to quote along with me from the King James Version or whatever version you learned it in, go ahead. But let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That wasn't so hard, was it? So what in the world's a pastor's going to say for us today? Of course, the great theme of this verse is the love of God. Back during the Middle Ages, there was a monk who was a well-known preacher and had become quite famous in the land for sharing the word of God. And word got out that the monk was going to come down from the monastery on the hill into the city where there stood a great cathedral. And at midnight in the great cathedral, he was going to preach the greatest sermon ever preached on the love of God. And so the whole city packed the cathedral at midnight. The instructions from the monk in the monastery on the hill was that there were to be no lights, no candles, no lamps lit in the cathedral. So everybody sat there in complete silence. And at midnight, the doors to the back of the cathedral creaked open. And the monk walked in carrying a single candle. And he walked up to the altar where there in the Catholic tradition was the crucifix. And he walked up to the crucifix and he held the candle by the crown of thorns on the image of Jesus. He held it there a second. Then he moved the candle to the nail print in one hand on the figure. Move the candle to eliminate the nail print on the other hand. Move the candle to shine on the nail, pictured through the feet of Jesus, and then held the candle up to the scar from the spear in the side of the figure of Jesus. And then he blew the candle out and left. For you see, that was the greatest sermon on the love of God. Today I wanted to just very quickly take this old so familiar verse and show you that there are 12 promises or 12 aspects of this verse that speak to us. You got nervous when I said 12 because you're thinking, oh my gosh, a 12-point sermon. Don't worry. It won't be that long. Let's look at the first one. For God. God is the greatest lover. Know this. Of all the people in your life, from your parents to your grandparents, if you're older, to your children, if you have any, brothers, sisters, friends, whoever it may be, remember this. No one loves you more than God. No one. No one else has the capacity to love you with such greatness. And God's love and greatness is so awesome that God can love every human being born in the line of Adam, from Adam and Eve forward to now that will ever be born, with that same great capacity. God is the greatest lover. For God so loved. And that is the greatest degree. There is no love that can exceed the depth, the breadth, and the width and the height of God's magnificent love. You can doubt many things, but never doubt that God loves you. Doesn't matter how bad things may be going for you or how well things are going for you, God's love could not be any greater. God's love is at its greatest when you are living for Him. God's love is at its greatest towards you when you are rebelling against Him. God's love is the greatest for you when you are born again and one of His children. And God's love for you is the greatest if you never, ever come to Jesus. There is nothing you can do that will cause God to love you any less than He already does. And it's impossible for God to love you anymore because He loves you to the greatest degree. For God so loved the world. And that's the greatest audience. No one except our great Jehovah God can say that He knows everyone who has ever come into existence. Every human who has ever lived or ever will live, God knows every detail about them. Before God ever created the universe, God knew everything there was to know about you and everybody else in the whole world. You see, that's the greatest audience to receive God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave. And that's the greatest sacrifice, isn't it? No one has ever given more in the history of the world. The greatest sacrifice was God choosing to give up his Son so that we might have a relationship with him and eternal life. For we had been lost in our sin, and Jesus took all of our sin upon himself. The greatest sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that is the greatest gift. The greatest gift. I've received some wonderful gifts from God. My wife, my children. While they are amazing things, the most indescribable gift I've ever been given was Jesus. That Jesus came and lived that perfect life for me. Do you know that when Jesus did not give in to temptation and lived that perfect life day in, day out, every day faced with that choice and that temptation, he overcame it, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. When he chose to walk to Jerusalem and face the cross and to go to the cross, he did it for you, he did it for me. And when he rose victorious over the grave, he did it for you, and he did it for me. When he ascended and sat down at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us, even as you're hearing the sound of my voice right now, Jesus is in heaven pleading our case before the Father. He's doing it every moment for us. That's the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, and that's the greatest opportunity. It's sad to think about this, but Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. When Jesus said that, he said of that narrow way, that narrow gate, he said, few find it. And when speaking of that way of destruction, or that gate of destruction that is very broad, he said, many choose that road. I don't like that. Every time I open my Bible and I read that, I know that many is always more than few. And that breaks my heart. That more people will be in hell than in heaven. And why is that? It's because even though they've been presented with the greatest opportunity to come to Christ, most choose not to. But you've been given the greatest opportunity. God has done everything possible to keep anyone from going to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes. And that's the greatest act. The greatest act you could ever do in your life is to simply believe that Jesus has given himself for you. For when you take that greatest act of belief, an amazing transformation happens inside you. For you see, God takes the guilt and filth of your sin and my sin when we do that, and he takes it away and he replaces it with his Holy Spirit and a new soul within you, a new spirit. He takes that dead soul and he puts a live one, risen with Christ inside you. And you become a new person. You become born again through just that simple act of believing that Jesus died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. And that's the greatest attraction. There are many things that can arrest our attention, that can capture our fancy. All kinds of things in this world. The Bible calls them the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of the flesh. All the things that the Bible says are of this world and not of the Father. But the most attractive thing in this world for those who will look and see and believe is Jesus. For there is no one, nothing that can compel us to live in the manner in which we live other than Jesus. He is the great attraction of the soul for those who believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. And that's the greatest promise, isn't it? Only Jesus can offer the assurance, the 100% guarantee of eternal life and salvation for those who trust in him. What about you? Do you have that? I got it on December 30th, 1973. I got it. What about you? You may not be able to name the date, but can you come to the point in time in your heart and mind where you go, it may be a period of weeks or months as you slowly came through a process of faith, but you can look back on that season, or it might be, for me, like me, a moment in time. But can you look back into the history of your heart and say, this is when I received the great promise that I shall not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but. You see, that's the greatest difference. There's a great difference between those who have received eternal life and those who haven't. I'm looking forward to the day, and I hope you are too, where there'll be no sorrow, no tears, gladness, the joy of God will fill our hearts. But it's sad to think about those who are so different, who do not have that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have. And that's the greatest certainty. Jesus said in John 10, verses 29-30. He said that when you come to him in faith, that you have been placed in the hand of Jesus. And so Jesus takes his hand with you in it and holds you tightly. And then to make it more secure, Jesus said that he then is in his Father's hand. And the Father has taken His magnificent, mighty hand and wrapped around the Son. And so what Jesus is saying is, when you have come to Him, you're being double clutched. You are in the hand of Jesus, and Jesus in the hand of God. And Jesus goes on to say this promise, and no one can remove them from my Father's hand. Once you're born again, you can never lose your salvation. It's there. For you to lose your salvation means that your salvation was dependent upon your good works. And if you're trusting in your good works, you never had it to begin with. But when it's based on the work of Christ on the cross and His forgiveness, His grace, you are in the hand of Jesus. And Jesus is wrapped tightly in the hand of God. And no one can take you from His hand. That is the greatest certainty. Once you have it forever and ever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have, lastly, eternal life. And that's the greatest possession. It's the greatest possession. The Lord can take everything away from you, like He did with Job. And the Lord could do more than He did with Job. He could even take your very physical life. There are a few things that God can't do. God cannot sin. Therefore, God cannot lie. And if God cannot lie, then God cannot take away eternal life. Once He has given it, it is yours. With such a marvelous gift that has been given to you, it is a gift to be shared with others. My question for you today, though, is, do you have that gift? Do you possess eternal life? If you don't know, then you probably don't. And if you don't, you can today. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son who died on the cross for your sins? If you can answer yes to that, do you believe that He was buried and rose again the third day? If you believe that, if you will but confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. If you will believe those things, trust in those things, God will transform your heart right now. All you have to do is cry out and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I trust in you, not my works, but in your work on the cross. And what will happen is the Lord will save you and give you eternal life right now. If you haven't done that, I want you to do that right now. When we have an invitation in just a moment, we're going to be standing and singing. You can come down this aisle. I want you to come and pray with me. And pray that prayer, and you can be born again and have eternal life. If you're like me, I'm sure most of you are, you've given your life to Jesus a long time ago. Rejoice in what you've been given. Let the joy of your salvation fill your heart again. Let it bubble over. And share with others. What you have found, and that they can have it too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this marvelous verse of Scripture. and the great promises that you've given to us in it. And Lord, we give this time of invitation to you, Lord, asking God that you would show us again the joy of our salvation and what we have been given. And Father, that you would strip away the familiarity of this verse and let us see it anew with wonder and awe. And Father, that if there is one, two, or more, Lord, that need to come in faith and to know for sure that they have eternal life that can never be taken away, God, that they would come and perform this greatest act of belief. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.